6.5% was it? Is that what the current odds are of the Stanley Cup?
Well, and if you look at the round by round progression, the Stanley Cup favorite is the Vancouver Canucks.
Like, what a time to be alive!
Talking you through every goalie controversy, scoring slump, and draft lottery bust, this is the C4 Podcast on CanucksHockeyBlog.com. Here they are, the best starting lineup we could afford under the salary cap. Chris, Matt, Anna, and Adam.
Welcome to another episode of the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast, brought to you by Full Press Coverage Network and CanucksHockeyBlog.com. I'm Chris at Lifehorse. Back in the saddle, joined virtually as always by Anna Forsyth at E4Sy03. Anna, who is the more competent host and the one that you can always count on as being here. Welcome, Anna.
Thanks, Chris. I think that's rather generous considering the fact that I'm sitting here nursing a cut finger where I dropped a marmalade jar and then tried to clean it up. But thanks.
But you're leaving out the part where it was in midst of a bar fight and you felt the need to ensure that the space was tidy while the brawl was taking place.
That's
and
it.
And in your other hand, you were fighting off the combatants. Bear. The bear. That's the other thing we were talking about is that in my new neighborhood, our complex, our strata has put up a sign on a gate to get onto a pathway. And it's, you know, the applicable, like if you use our gate, you're entering the space at your own risk, don't come after us type, you know, language. But it lists animals that have been recently sighted. Coyotes, raccoons, they're everywhere in Metro Vancouver. Doesn't matter where you are, there is a raccoon living next to you, and there's a good chance if there's a space, a coyote is nearby. But the other two animals caught me by surprise, bear and cougar. Apparently.
But did it specify which kind of cougar?
No, it didn't. So maybe it's just the one that, you know.
Suburban wine mom
thing. Yeah, like. I don't like, do I have to, at my age, do I have to worry about?
I mean, maybe. Like, I guess cougars can be any age as long as there's an age difference.
Mm-hmm. Anyhow, and then bears. But, you know, if for some reason I'm not here, you now have to wonder, you know, is it that Chris is under the weather or did he get into a fight with a bear?
Could be either one.
You know, like this also sort of, you know, takes me further off the rails and reminds me of these studies that often get run where people are asked, you know, do you think you could win a fight with a bear? And there are always people like, oh yeah, I could totally take on a bear. I'm confident in myself. I can beat a bear.
Okay. Like, but yeah, this is like just like why combat. Men have a shorter life expectancy than women. Men also think they can beat Serena Williams at tennis. So.
Well, yeah, I know. I saw that. And I'm like, okay. Like the moment I saw the question, I'm like, how quickly do I lose and do I get hurt doing it? Like,
yeah, can I escape without getting hurt?
Right. Like I'm not, I have no doubt that she makes me look silly. Which is again, why would I even consider this? But yeah, I would never take on a bear. Like someone said, oh, I could take him in unarmed combat. Exactly. When it takes your arms off.
Yeah. Unarmed. Exactly. It's like the Black Knight. We'll call it a draw.
Yep. Yep. Oh man. It's good to be back. Thanks for filling in for me last week with Rob.
Yeah. It was good fun. Yeah. Of course, he was on back in the day, back in normal times
in the hot box.
But
he never really got to join us
for a while.
In the hot box, like there were a series of different box sizes, and I believe his guest spots were in the larger hot box.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. He was saying how bad it was, and I'm like, yeah, you don't even know.
No,
it gets worse.
Like I don't recall a hotter box than that little like voiceover room that you and I crammed into.
Yeah, that's the hottest of the boxes.
Yeah, I mean, I know. I think Matt and Adam did it once. I think you and Matt did it once. Like it was.
I would say the only hotter box is when Eric Gabranson gets a penalty.
Ooh. Speaking of penalty boxes, was it in New York or Jersey or wherever the heck it was? They had kittens in there. Was that Photoshop?
I don't think so. I think that was in Tampa, but like,
okay.
Because Florida be weird. I didn't think it was photoshopped. I mean, it seems like a bit strange. Maybe it was, you know, pushing their adoption or something, but also, like, the cats like hockey games. It seems pretty loud for them, but.
Well, I know, but like they were just chilling. And I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, if I was a professional hockey player, I'd totally take a 10 and go sit in the box with those two kittens. Team B damned.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's preseason. I would definitely do it.
Yeah. And I wouldn't take a 2. I would just mouth off or something to get my 10 minutes to get good quality time without penalizing my team, right? Outside of me not being on the ice. Which, considering how I play hockey, it would probably be a benefit for my team to not have me on the ice.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. There you go. Win-win.
Yeah. But speaking of actual hockey talk, to segue back to what we're going to cover, the preseason for the Vancouver Canucks is done, though all of their decisions leading up to the start of the season are not. I mean, we're recording right now a little bit early on Thanksgiving Monday. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. But it's possible that Trader Jim will make a deal or sign a contract. I mean, he's still chasing a player or two.
Things are happening.
Did you not get what I was throwing down there? Chasing a player or two? I know. I'm bringing back my A game. We obviously saw some adjustments to the roster that have, for lack of a better way to describe it, encouraged some debate and, and ultimately, you know, what is there to be thankful for as a Canucks fan? I think as the C4 Canucks hockey or playoff podcast is concerned, a whole lot. So let's start rewinding. You know, I get it's the preseason, but can you explain to me why Travis Green would still be throwing everything into the rotisserie and mixing things up and what have you, and sort of your last, you know, warm-up game to the regular season. Again, qualifying that, it's still bonus time. So, like, if you're going to mess around, might as well do it here. I just, yeah.
Yeah, it's bonus time. But, yeah. Obviously, he hasn't had the preseason he wanted. He had his two star players missing a good chunk of it. There's been some players that aren't quite like fit to play the full preseason. There's
the Besser injury.
Besser injury, all kinds of new players coming in. So it was always going to be hard work. But you do think by the time you get like to your last game, you would have had some things figured out. Most of your stuff figured out, but...
Well, maybe he does have things figured out, and he was just trying to figure out the things that were figured out more. Figure out the figure out stuff. I don't know. I'm not a professional hockey coach. I've never played the game at a high level. So what is it that I know?
Yeah, it just seems like... I was trying to, you know, figure out what Travis Green was trying to figure out, and looking at the lineup, you're just thinking, like, I mean, is Chasen like purely holding space for Besser, in which case are we gonna see the start of the season with Garland on the top line?
Well, and but Miller the thing about Chasen, as we are recording, there is still no word if he has been signed to a contract,
right?
So at this point in time, when I believe what season kicks off tomorrow. Does it not?
And Canucks season kicks off tomorrow. Yeah. Wednesday. But yeah, when this comes out, the NHL season will kick off. But yeah.
Which you have to be compliant. Deals are in place. Yeah. Like, and Jason's holding a spot warm for Brock, you'd think they'd give him a deal. Unless Brock is back, and at which point Jason's peace be with him. But.
I mean, maybe they're waiting on something else and Chasen is their backup plan if another signing doesn't come through, or maybe there was some interest and want some waivers. But
actually, I didn't look this morning. Were there any notable names hitting the waiver wire?
I don't think so. I think all of the names went through yesterday that were the big ones. Mm-hmm. Let's see what Elliot Friedman has to say, but Seattle's just made a claim. Dal Colle has gone on waivers this morning, so that's the major one. Yeah, there's been some claims, but nothing too exciting yet.
Yeah, the only big news I saw that was Mark Giordano is the first captain of the Seattle Kraken.
Yeah, it's weird. I think I barely blinked at that because I thought it was already the case. I think everyone
didn't he come out on stage during the expansion draft with a C on his jersey already? Or
I mean, the C was implied, that's for sure.
Yeah,
I mean, not to go off the rails, but I'm going to. How did you see how many A's the Rangers gave out?
Oh yeah,
they got like you get an A. Everyone gets an A.
There was it seven names?
Seven.
Yeah. Seven. Oh, I saw that this morning, and then I think it was Daniel Wagner? Someone tweeted the GIF of Krusty the Clown jumping out of the clown car before it's about to get hit, and all the clowns coming pouring out the door.
There we go.
I don't understand. Like, okay, let's say you have a veteran-laden roster, and you need to manage your room by recognizing the contribution of each and the personalities and such, and you throw A's around with wild abandon. But like, I genuinely remember the era where you had the captain and you had your two alternates.
Yeah. I mean, Canucks have usually had three or four.
Oh, in the modern era, there has been, I think, like a C and three A's-ish. Like that seems to be the trend. And that way the thought is you essentially have a captain or an alternate on the ice at any given time based on your lines.
Yes. Although, yeah, Canucks usually don't have more than, I think they've usually just had two at once, you know, home and away. They've often done that. But yeah, like I can understand, especially like, yeah, if you want to sort of push that leadership around the room, but like it seems a bit silly to have Steph.
Hey,
it kind of cheapens it, no? It's just like, okay, alternate doesn't mean anything anymore. Everyone.
Yeah, I think the intent behind like being a captain and alternate is the letter provides you the gravitas in the room or on the bench that you can, when you speak, your voice matters just that little bit more. But then how often do you hear the story about, oh, that person's a real leader in the room. They don't need a letter to be a leader because they show what it takes and they play the game. I don't know. Again, I've never played the game at the high level, nor did I ever play a game in high level Alberta, which I think qualifies me as a high level, whatever fill in the blank player it needs to be. I don't entirely know a letter would matter much to me. Like maybe the C. I would view that as sort of the honor, but yeah. I wouldn't necessarily need the recognition.
I mean, people have talked about it in all kinds of sports about the, like in football as well, as it being more for the fans in it anyway. Like if you're in the room, you know who the leaders are, but it's nice like to get that recognition and fans can sort of see that.
But the role, I mean, the role itself, like to use football as an example or soccer as our, you know, colonials might call it, the C matters because you get a little bit of leverage when it comes to actually having a conversation with the referee.
Yeah, but it's not like cricket. Cricket, literally the captain is running the whole game. So It's very important. And they help select the team. So very important who the captain is. But I mean, I thought it was very important that Bo got the captaincy and defined that new era. But if you ask me like who the alternates are and who I think they should be, it's not as important to me.
Yeah. No, and that's the thing. That's sort of the point I was going. Like for me, I think there is like the captain, that C matters. And I can see in some respect an A as sort of a recognition. But yeah, you point out the fact that you get New York handing out seven, where, you know, I think the only person that hands out more things is Oprah at Christmas. And it does take away from the letter. Because everyone's got one. And if you don't, like, why not? It actually almost opens the door to why don't you have one? Which has never been a conversation ever.
Yeah. It's a bit odd.
Yeah. Back onto the Canucks though. leave it to us to go off
the holiday edition.
Opportunity we can. Yeah. We'll get into sort of some of the changes we've seen, but let's talk a little bit about the fact that the team didn't have the hottest of preseasons.
Yeah, it was pretty sad. Like,
well,
I mean, it was more just the fact that before Pedersen and Hughes got here, it was a bit like, oh, this looks bad. It'll be better once they come back. And they came back, and it was a little bit better, but not a lot. Yeah. And I'm not blaming them, but...
No, I know. I just... I don't put so much weight into the record that a team has in the preseason. I want to say there was a year during AV's tenure as coach that the Canucks had like a hot preseason where they went like undefeated. They had split squad games and they were winning both of them. And yet what happens to a Vancouver Canucks roster during that era when the puck drops? It's not so good in October. Right? Like, I mean, wasn't the thing that Luongo used to joke around that, you know, the season doesn't, you know, the season doesn't start for me until November. And then it connects with going on like this run. Like, I think what I look at when I see the preseason is the sort of the personal play of different players, the systems that are being put into place, which we had sort of discussed, wasn't something we really got a good view of because of Quinn and PD not getting the start that the others had. And then two, the fact that we were seeing roster moves that didn't quite make sense within the context of what we were seeing on the ice. And I am just actually reading Brendan Batchelor's tweet this morning. The first power play unit before practice is Pedersen, Hughes, Miller, Horvat, and guess who? Chiasson. Like,
an onside player. If he's not getting
a deal at this point
on your power play, like, you would have to think that he's getting a deal.
Yeah. Like, I mean, again, it's the season has yet to start, but here we are. Like, his PTO, I think, runs to like, I don't know what, I think contracts are till like midnight or what have you, or maybe it's like midday. Like, there has to be a deal there.
I mean, yeah. I just would think that he must be on the phone to his agent, you know, being like, they have me on the power play. Come on, like, get this done.
Yeah. So, okay. Getting into this. And I admittedly didn't see as much of the preseason action as I would have liked. But I don't recall Chiasson impressing me to the extent that I remembered a game he played.
Right. I kept forgetting he was there. And then suddenly, you know, they would interview someone. And I was like, who is that? And then I was like, oh, that's Alex Chiasson. He did okay. I think he did okay to good. But as you say, it wasn't like a star showing that you think, okay, this guy has to make the team. And there's also the fact that where is this money to sign him?
Who knows?
I need to look up like what he's on, like what he was on last year. But
well, I mean, it doesn't matter what he was on. I mean,
yeah, obviously it starts at zero, really. But yeah, it's like, more a case of like trying to find someone who doesn't have to go through waivers to send down. And
yeah, I look at Chiasson, like, if they're going to keep Chiasson and they're going to sign him to a deal, the deal that they're signing to him to is the deal that gets the Vancouver Canucks right to the penny of the cap, right? Like, right, whatever the deal is, because the moment the season starts, that's when we're going to see the LTIR kick in, and you want to be as close to the cap as possible to get the greatest benefit of LTIR. So I think having that flexibility, presuming Chiasson's interested in signing a deal, because if he commits to the Canucks, he is sort of acknowledging that, you know, the opportunities don't exist elsewhere when it comes to greener pastures.
Sure. But I mean, where's the opportunity? He's been playing in Vancouver, like, he's kind of put his eggs in the basket. No,
well,
he's made his choice in a way. Like, he's like, I'm gonna show up for you guys and audition for you guys.
Yeah, well, but when it comes to a PTO, you're the general consensus is the PTO is not to impress the team you're playing with. It's to impress the teams you're playing against.
Right. But I just feel like he's gotten to the stage now where it's.
Oh, yeah. No, he. Yeah, you're right. Maybe he hasn't gotten any other phone calls or offers or what have you. You're right. And it could be like, do I sign this deal or I have no deal?
Yeah. Because, I mean, you would think that if Canucks are literally putting him on the power play, they've at least heard some encouraging noises from him. And he's not just going to go, actually, I've got this other deal piece. But you don't know. You, right? I mean, it's not on the player to say that, maybe, but yeah. He's got to keep his options open and he's got to play somewhere. So he'll take any deal, I guess.
Yeah. The other thing that took place over the course of the week is Olia Levy is no longer a Vancouver Canuck.
Nope.
I mean, we're not talking about him being sent to Abbotsford.
Yeah, because he would still be a Canuck at that stage.
Yeah.
The other kind of
Canuck. You know, the trade, and I know I'm sort of taking this out of our next segment, but I kind of think it's compelling.
It's holiday edition. There are no,
and rewind.
There are no rules.
Yeah. Do you think Levy got a fair shake?
It's so hard to say. Obviously, he's had such bad luck with injuries, and that's no one's fault. I think he has on balance, just because he was given quite a lot of opportunity in the last couple of years. I'm not saying Canucks didn't make mistakes with him earlier on, but overall, I think he's been given a chance, and he hasn't quite made it. I mean, he was never going to live up to his draft positioning, but I think it just got to the stage where it wasn't working for either of them. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Well, I mean, Olia Levy wasn't making this team. No. You know, I think that's clear as day. Whether he deserved to be a seven, I think is debatable. He, you know, didn't show well in camp. The bag skate bagged him. Like, mm-hmm. You know, he came into a tough camp and had a tough camp, unfortunately. But
yeah,
as far as an opportunity, you know, I think trading him to Florida gives him a chance to sort of have that new situation, a team that at least had enough interest that they wanted to trade for him. Like, you know, looking at the players that came back, I don't feel that the Panthers viewed this as we're going to take something. We want to get rid of a problem or a contract or anything of the sort. In fact, I'd suggest that, yeah, the trade might not make sense in the context of all of the moves and the fact that there are some players in Abbotsford who we would have otherwise thought might have had a chance to be in Vancouver. But it is sort of what it is. It's not a huge problem. I think I go back to that earlier comment as to whether or not to get a fair shake, because there are some that feel that Travis Green just was never high on Olia Levy, and therefore, you know, a different coach or a different situation or, you know, different management group, Ole might have turned into something. But that goes to the point. That's reality is that's not here in Vancouver.
Yeah, I think realistically, this was, you say it's a tough camp and it's true, but it's also like was a wide open camp at the bottom of the roster, like both in the fourth line and last pairing. Like,
yeah, but I don't know for a blue liner, especially one of his quote unquote pedigree. Like there were expectations that Olia Levy was going to amount to be more than a seventh or sixth D-man, right? Like, and then when we look at who was in camp and the names that the team had in place, I think the writing was on the wall. Like, I don't think it was as wide open for Olia as it might have been for, you know, like Philip DiGiuseppe, who there are those who are still livid with him being sent down to Abbotsford, which to note, he has made it to. He did not get claimed. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there are some that wonder why he didn't find himself a spot.
Yeah, I agree with that. And but you got to think that maybe they were just placeholders, but like Burrows was, you know, with the team competing for that spot. Like I thought that at least the sixth, seventh spot was pretty open. Like you got OEL, Hughes, and Pullman and Myers. Like that's your top four zone right up. But I don't know. Yeah. I thought there was some more space. Obviously, yeah, it's going to be tricky. You could say that he was sort of swimming upstream his whole career. So I hope that turns around for him in Florida.
Fair enough. The last thing that I just wanted to touch on before we get into half full, half empty. So who's our top line?
It's a great question. Ask Travis. Because, yeah, as we said, like Garland was playing on the top, quote unquote, top line, Garland and Pedersen together with chasing pavements.
And he's chasing waterfalls.
No, you don't want to do that. The ice. You don't go chasing waterfalls. Yeah. I mean, I think almost everyone, if you ask every like media member at camp, I think to a person, they would have said the lotto line starts the season. But we've yet to see it. Apart from, you know, them mixing up on the power play. Which led to a goal against the Oilers, who have been playing their full strength team for like the whole preseason, I think.
The possibility exists that it still comes out in the regular season. Like it could just be a product of the fact that, you know, PD needed a quick camp, right? We talked about this week and a half ago, I guess, as to when those deals got announced. What does that look like? What does a quick camp look like for these players? And, you know, what did we see? We saw the two bag skate themselves or ask for a bag skate to ingratiate themselves to the players in front of them who got bag skate to start the season. We saw the two get every opportunity to play. But maybe PD's still finding his legs. And do you throw him out there, quote unquote, the top line? Yes, he's your top line player. But it's almost akin to like coming back from injury and needing a conditioning stint. Which that's not what they have the opportunity to do. I don't think they can assign PD to Abbotsford for conditioning because he's not coming back from an injury. He's coming back from a longer wait than usual to get a deal.
Right. And I mean, I have not seen the time on ice from the previous game, but I just think if you're not, like, if you're planning to play that lotto line to start the season, why wouldn't you have Miller on Pedersen's wing? Like, playing at lower minutes or a reduced role, it seems strange not to have them find their chemistry again. You know, you don't have Besser out, but yeah, it just would be an odd decision to me, but maybe Travis is just still figuring out and maybe he does go with the lotto line and hadn't decided until yesterday's game, but yeah, if he'd figured it out before now, and it would seem strange that he hasn't even like practiced with what he could from that group.
True. Fair enough. I mean, we're all saying this now, the Canucks will play, everything will be, you know, shown to us, and we can listen to it all on 6:50 on Saturday morning when Faber and Quads get together.
Yeah.
Which I just want to, you know, give a shout out to, you know, friends of the show, Faber friends and Quads, on getting this gig. These are two kids that hustle like no other. There's a lot of kids that hustle, but I mean, not everyone's a friend of the show.
And yeah, I think they've just really done so well to go from relative obscurity to like key members of the pack at, you know, young age and not that much time in the media. But yeah, I think they have great chemistry together. They're kind of sometimes like brothers, you know, love each other but bicker, and that's kind of fun as well. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it should be good, and like we're always looking for a bit more, I don't know, character originality from 650, so I think it'll be a good addition.
Very good addition. Speaking of good additions, it's a break. We'll be right back. You're listening to the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast, brought to you by Full Press Coverage Network and CanucksHockeyBlog.com.
Take hitting out of the game. You can't hit anymore, so don't do it.
The unsportsmanlike conduct, I want to get an explanation on that.
No kidding.
Because how do you get suspended for unsportsmanlike conduct?
Plus interference. There's no interference there. He had the puck.
Now, Madison never ever did that before. Now, why did he do it? That because he was mad.
Well, your early favorite for the Calder Trophy, that's for sure. Elias Pettersson, you might even say your early favorite for the Hart Trophy.
Just to get back to your question, Elias is going to play plenty. He's going to play. He's going to get a lot of power play time. And yeah, I'm concerned about our offense. We lost 200-point players, and we've got to find a way to score.
Anna, who impressed you the most at camp?
I think it's relative, but I mean, I think Connor Garland has been one of the best players at camp. But Di Giuseppe from someone I've not really heard of to a strong showing on the lower end of the roster would be one of the biggest surprises.
Well, I mean, you're right. I think Connor Garland was very impressive, but our expectations were that he would be impressive.
Yeah.
You know, arguably, we gave a first-round pick for him, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, yes, it's a part of a greater deal, but, you know, however which way you look at it.
We gave up King Louis for him, you know?
Well, it's, I mean, look at Louis. I can't believe the Canucks gave him up and how he's going to light up the desert. Mm-hmm. Heck, he's lighting up the desert already. Must be a contract year or something. But I think the Di Giuseppe pick is a really good one, because like, I don't recall seeing a player get placed on waivers designated for assignment and generate that much conversation. Yes, we're talking about Canucks Twitter, which Canucks Twitter is great. It's equally bad, but it's great because it talks about every little move. I mean, heck, if they were to change suppliers off of the Athletic tape, Canucks Twitter would have an opinion. But I'd like to think that with Di Giuseppe, Canucks Twitter was like, what's going on here? Like, those who, whatever goes on, were impressed by him. They're looking at like, hey, it's a tough team to crack. He's going to get an opportunity to be one of the first call-ups. And then those who are like, why is he not on this team with what he brings considering his performance? Like, there was a collective like, hey, this is a player who impressed many people. And I don't think anyone had him penciled in as a guy that would be generating that level of, I don't know, heat in our sort of fandom market.
Yeah. I mean, as you say, like, Canucks Twitter loves to make a mountain out of a molehill.
No.
But I will say, yeah, like, I understand some of it. It just seems like, not that it's the biggest travesty or anything, it's more just a case of he played really well. We don't have a lot on the back end, especially with some players missing. He's cheap. Why not give him a shot? Especially when we do have the freedom to cool players up a little bit more from Amazon.
You know, it's the he's a Jag. Mm-hmm. Paid Jag money, but he's a good Jag, right? Like, these are the types of players that I think good teams have on their roster. Now, is there someone that is taking that place that provides you, you know, Jag plus one? Like this is where I start to get confused, because when I look at, you know, everyone sort of else that exists within the context of the roster here. So we're talking left winger. I mean, I don't know how he fits on the left per se, but you know, if you can put him in the middle or you can put him on the right, like if he can move around,
yeah.
Does this mean like Juho Lamico just took a spot, like that trade with Florida cost him? Like, I mean, that maybe that was the case, but is then Juho the kid that gives you the plus one?
Yeah.
Just as cheap.
Right. That's the thing. It's just Travis is known for being tough with camp. And, you know, if you don't show up, there'll be consequences. And it just, it needs to go the other way as well, right? Like, you should be able to earn a spot, and doesn't necessarily translate with the, like, yeah, Mott and Sutter being out, that there wasn't a space at least as a plus one. Like, did McEwen have a good camp? Not really.
Well, no. And that's so, like, you know, I like Zach, big Zach, yeah, McEwen.
Me too. And I, like, have no doubt that he'll do some good things over the course of a season, but, like,
I don't feel that McEwen should be the reason as to which Giuseppe doesn't get the opportunity, right? Like, I, you know, and there was some talk that is the loss of Gadjevich on waivers. So Jonah got placed on waivers, and the rumor mill suggests the Canucks did not believe they'd lose him.
Yeah, even though they said, oh, well, we knew there was a good chance he might get taken. It's just like, oh, did you? I mean, that's how waivers work, some, but...
Well, but then there are some that are saying, like, well, wait a minute, that losing Gadjevich scared the Canucks needing that sort of role that Jonah played, that Zach kind of fills, and therefore, well, we can't lose both. But then is that to suggest that there is a I mean, who knows? Maybe there is a team out there that covets Big Zach, but...
Yeah.
So we're again recording live. Batch just tweeted out the Thanksgiving Monday practice lines.
Yeah,
your top line is Miller, Pettersson, and Chiasson.
Yeah,
he's got to have a deal.
I mean, you think, but strange things have happened, right? Yeah. So again, like now we see that Miller's joined up with Pettersson at last, so does that mean Chiasson's just keeping Bess's spot warm? But maybe they want him for lower down the lineup. We don't know. He's been a good fill-in if he's just a fill-in, but it was funny, as you were talking about Zach McEwen's, you know, role as a big guy and having lost Jonah Gadjevich. I was on his Elite Prospects profile. His picture is him bleeding from the mouth after a fight. So, yeah, he can do that.
Well, okay. And actually, I want to use this as a segue because it was a topic I wanted to touch on. We didn't actually have it in the rundown here, but he was in a fight with another former Zach from the Vancouver Canucks, Zach Kassian, in Edmonton. And the resulting... injury to Kassian, which I actually have not heard an update on since, but he was out cold on the ice. Like, he fell headfirst into the ice. Zach, linesman knew it right away. They were calling over the bench. Like, you could tell McEwen did not obviously intend for this to occur. Mm-hmm. But looking at what transpired before that, you had a staged fight. It was prior to the puck drop. The two players got together and you want to go. And I had commented afterwards, I mean, I think I've made it very clear on the show, I don't like staged fights. I feel they serve absolutely zero purpose. And okay, take me to task if you think that it's what keeps the rats at bay. There are many different ways to deal with problems on the ice. And the staged fight is not one of them. In fact, I think it's just a useless activity in the game. But it got me thinking, like, I don't really care about fights. I actually wouldn't have an issue if the NHL were to say, yeah, if you want to go, yeah, two players can fight. They throw punches. And guess what, guys? You're done. Your game's over. See you later. Like, get it out of the game. Like,
Yeah, to me, I'm with you that the risks are too great, really, in terms of what you're gaining from it and what, like, players risk by doing it. Like, there are enough wrists in hockey that you can't really control, like pucks coming at your eye and pucks to the head and skate blades all around, that you're never going to get those out of game. So it just seems like, yeah, too great a risk. And it just seems a bit outdated, right? Like, with the skill that's in the league now.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's not even just that. I just feel like it's a piece of a bygone era in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting to see those that rally to fights as being this glorious opportunity for two players in combat to impact a game. Then go go box. Go into MMA. That's where that's directly the impact to the result. A different conversation. It's just, to me, the best hockey is the hockey where offense takes place, where goals get scored. I have no issue with big hits. I don't mind physical play. Like, I think there is a mechanism to do so within the confines of the rules of the game. But fighting, I don't understand how fighting has an impact. Yes, there are some that'll suggest, oh, it changes momentum and it rallies the team. I'm pretty sure there are many different ways to change momentum and rally teams. If that was the only reason, we would see fighting in many other sports. Off the rails, do you know that a consensual fight in Canada is perfectly legal? Like, if you and I say you want to go out in the street, we can.
Do we have to sign a contract? Or
I don't know.
Maybe if we sign a waiver.
Maybe. Neither one of us are lawyers. Maybe we need to get one on the show to confirm this. But
let's ask Sam. I'm sure she's been asked dumber questions.
a TikTok video went through my feed of an RCMP officer being asked, are fights legal? And he had responded by saying, I can't remember what the term, like there was a legal term, but essentially it's if Anna and Chris on the street say you want to go, so a staged fight, and you and I start duking it out, that fight itself is legal. Now, there are ramifications just because you and I agreed. If, let's say, I use undue force or do something, I can still be right. Cause it's like,
but then also if it's in public, that could be like disturbing the peace or something like that.
Correct. Like, there are probably other issues, but you and I throwing down in the middle of the street,
what's illegal. I mean, I have been in immigration, seeing somebody get turned away from the States because of a hockey fight he was in. So don't do it, kids.
Yeah, no, we're not. And please don't like, oh, well, Chris said doesn't like fighting in hockey, but he likes fighting on the street. I don't like fighting. Like, it doesn't have any impact on me. I grew up on it. I loved it.
Yeah.
I will admit to the fact that I grew up in an era where I loved a good scrap. Yeah. When Calgary and Vancouver got into that brawl in the tort season, I was feeding off of it. Like, oh yeah, that was great. But then I started better understanding the outcomes of these events and the impact of these players and their own health. And it's like, whoa, man, no. Now that I know the cost, there ain't no cost worth this.
Yeah, I think it's kind of lame. I avoid all other combat sports because I hate the fighting part. I won't say that I haven't been rallied up by a fight in the past, especially against, you know, a team you really don't like, but I guess the issue is no one team wants to be the first to say we're not doing it.
No, and I get, and that's, I mean, there's a sport culture issue at play. Like, it's not an easy task. This is why I kind of feel that the league could be the one to simply step in and say, hey, here's what we're going to do. I mean, look at all the things that have changed over the years. Players are required to wear visors. Players are required to wear helmets. Like, these are two things that were brought in for safety that people were completely against at the time. And yet now it's okay. Like, it's
yeah.
Like, I would be shocked if I didn't see a player wearing a helmet. Like, it's like, why are they still on the ice?
Yeah.
In fact, I don't think they can be anymore, right? Like, I think that once the helmet comes off, I think they're obligated to get off the ice.
I think it might be one of those murky rules where it's just like,
oh, NHL murky rules. Yeah. It's an entire rule book.
Because you've seen players when the helmet comes off kind of sticking around to the whistle. But
yeah, but you know what I mean? Like the idea is to protect them.
And yeah, once again, we're seeing the NHL failing to do their part.
Yeah. A few other tidbits. So Hamonic. How do you solve a problem like Hamonic?
That's a lot of H's. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, do you, like, are they trying to get him to fail to report? I just don't understand. There must be some plan. But, you can't just, like, put him on waivers and be like, okay, that's it. Well, maybe it is. Maybe that's the whole plan.
Well, I don't know if we know with certainty that it's the issue, though.
As Rob said, why wouldn't you say something and say, like, this is an entirely different issue?
Let's leave it alone.
But they haven't.
But it's, hypothetically speaking, if vaccination status is the issue, he can't travel. Like, it's a home game player. Like, legally in Canada this month, he cannot board a plane. He can't board a plane to come to Canada, I don't believe, either. Like, I think the rule is just no planes, trains, and boats.
Right. I think the idea is that you have to be fully vaccinated by November 30th, and I think it's October 30th partially, I think, for the planes, trains, boats. Okay.
Sure, but, like, I mean, if you're a team that now has to take into this consideration that you have a player who can't travel with you, why do you have this player? I think you're right. I think if it's we're putting him in a position where if he does not report, we're given flexibility to then terminate a deal. I don't think the Canucks could do that at the team. Like, I do believe they have to sort of go through the motions. Like, I'm not fully aware if they could say, you got to be here, we're not sending you there, or we're not giving this opportunity. I don't know.
I mean, I guess the problem is he wants to be there, and there's nothing in NHL rules that says you have to be vaccinated there's all kinds of restrictions that come with it, but
sure.
That's,
I think, though, the, it might not be within the, like, the, yeah, I think you're right. There's probably nothing in the collective agreement that requires this to be the case. But then I think you, like, the collective agreement, at least the standard NHL contract, requires you to essentially be eligible to work.
Yep.
Right? Like, work visas are often an issue when it comes to employment. It's just, that's standard international, employment fare. Now, yes, he might have a visa or what have you, but is he eligible to work? Like, is he eligible to play? Is he eligible to then travel? Like, these are, like, I remember applying for a job, and a job requirement was that I was, like, I could travel, that I could leave the country, right? Like,
essentially,
it may or may not happen, but this has to be
no restrictions to travel. Yeah.
Right. And I mean, again, we're, it is a gray area in the context of sort of the pandemic, but I feel that the Canucks could very well be just trying to go through all of the motions that they need to the point where it's like, okay, well, you're not doing what we need you to do, and therefore we're terminating the contract.
And I think they want to have, like, cover all their bases. But if anyone, I do trust Chris Gear with stuff like this, that's his strength, his contract. So you would think that he has it figured out. But I mean, Mackenzie Blackwood seems to have been backing down, right? He said he'll probably get.
Well, he also.
The vaccine.
But he got protocoled. Right. And then him getting protocoled a lot of people within the organization. Mm-hmm. And if there's one thing that we know about NHL culture, is you never want to be the player that isn't team first.
Yeah. I mean, Mackenzie, newsflash, that happened a while ago, but I'm glad you finally realized.
Yeah. Oh, anywho, you saw the comment from Bettman today. I shared it in C4 Discord, but he was on Good Morning America to drum up the ESPN deal. And he states there are only 5 unvaccinated players in the NHL.
Right.
Which is interesting because I'm pretty confident that a fair number of players had come out publicly to say they weren't, and it was greater than 5. So what's changed?
Good old fashioned peer pressure.
The latter, Gary's cooking the books. That's the other problem.
Right. But you would think that someone would call him on it sooner or later. Well, no one knows officially.
Right. I mean, what's he calling unvaccinated? Like, right. Is it partially or fully? Like, we don't know. And I mean, Gary is an intelligent man, despite, you know, the feelings of some, maybe ourselves included.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think anyone thinks he's dumb. Fellow.
Oh no. But like the point being is he can twist a word.
For sure. And like, as NHL's history with health records and transparency goes, it's not good. So they'll find a way to present things in the way that's most favorable. That's for sure.
Yeah. I'm refreshing Twitter constantly trying to see if there's been any update. Cause I just realized I said, did you stop? He was made it to Abbotsford, but that's not entirely true. Yet.
Yeah.
Maybe hedged my bets a little bit.
What was it? 22 hours ago, 23 hours ago, they went on waivers. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, we just passed noon Pacific as we're recording here, which
that's pretty early
for us. I think would be. So. Yeah. I'm just reading Cap Friendly as well. Cap Friendly says the opportunity for Canucks prior to submission of open day play rosters, which are due tomorrow, 5 p.m. Eastern. That was sent. So if Chiasson has a deal, we'll know by 2:00 this afternoon.
Okay. I mean,
because the opening day roster has to be submitted by that point.
We jumped the gun with recording. So
2 hours from now.
So could be moot at this point.
It's Thanksgiving.
No, it's a gift that we're recording at all, Chris.
Oh, I know.
Yeah,
it's true.
But yeah, I guess we'll see. I think the point is there's still quite a few question marks over the roster and places in the roster. So,
but you'll be back next week as a listener to learn all about the answers that will be told to us 5 minutes after we record, or you know, an hour after an episode goes live, as is usually the case with our show. But we appreciate you tuning in regardless.
Unless you jinx it and try and manifest new deals, and then the hockey gods will punish you.
Yeah, that was all on us. No, none of the 137 other Canucks podcasts cursed it. Only C4 did.
Yeah.
Oh, so here we are wrapping up a pretty solid hour together. Thanks for joining me on a Monday morning, Monday afternoon. I mean, we started morning. It's a few minutes in the afternoon here. Thanksgiving and all.
Yeah. I mean, it's a holiday edition. It's a little scatty, but you know what? The Canucks are a little scatty. They've got 2 hours to announce their final roster, and they still have a player on PTO on their first unit power play. So it's the same energy.
First unit power play, first unit of the team too, based on the tweets. So
yeah.
We'll crazy see. Time. But with it being Thanksgiving, Anna, what are you thankful for? I'm curious.
What am I thankful for? I mean, besides the obvious family and friends.
Are you thankful you didn't chop off your finger in the bar fight you were in?
Yeah, I'm thankful for that. I have a pretty bad record with hand injuries, honestly. I'm quite a clumsy person. I'm thankful for that. Thankful for you, of course. And I'm thankful for Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes deals. Those are the things I'm thankful for. And that fans are getting back in the rink. There we go.
Yeah, I'm thankful that we're continuing to do this. I'm thankful for you showing up each and every week, covering my butt when I'm not available. I'm obviously thankful for our listeners tuning in. I'm thankful I'm actually possibly going to a game in November. I have purchased a ticket.
Ooh.
So we'll, yeah, I know this is, it's I am in this weird sort of state of limbo where I'm not entirely confident with my decision to have purchased this ticket and go, but we shall see. Right. I am thankful that I am back with you this week. I'm thankful my mom's out of the hospital. I know for our regular listeners, that might not have been public knowledge. Our patrons, I'd sort of kept them a little bit in the loop. And I'm thankful that she is well on the mend. Without getting into specifics, trust your body telling you things and get it checked out. Don't ignore, don't put off, don't assume it's nothing. Just go in and see those who are experts, not Twitter, not WebMD, and you know, not your friends on the phone. Go talk to actual doctors and such, please. And I'm also thankful for the community that we've established. And one of the ways that you can be part of the community is by obviously following us on Twitter at the C4 Podcast, joining in the conversation in C4 Discord, discord.io/C4Podcast. It is an open place for all Canucks fans, Kraken fans, NHL fans, just people who want to have a good time and shoot the proverbial. And, you know, I want to grow this community a little bit better. If you as a listener have reached this point and have that same goal, you know, do what you can to get people you know and you converse with to take part. I think we have a really good thing going. As far as being part of that conversation, you can join in by being part of our show. You drop a voicemail or send us a text message, and to do so at 604-200-6201. That's 604-200-6201. We'll include it. We haven't gotten many messages or voicemails of late. I think the last one we got was from Hercules. Episodes back.
Hadn't had a voicemail at all for a long time. So that would be good.
Well, Ian had dropped us.
Ian's good for that. Reviews as well. We would love to read out another review. Good, bad, indifferent. 5 stars,
yeah,
you suck.
You can review us. Yeah, that I like that. We have yet to get the 5 stars, you suck.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for someone to call my bluff on that.
That should be the thing. That should be the C4 thing. Is people 5 stars, you suck. 5 stars, you suck. And then, like, I mean, maybe not just leave it, like, have fun at our expense. Mm-hmm. If you give us 5 stars, you can say whatever you want. Plus, I mean, Anna and I will read it on a show verbatim.
And if you want Chris to do an accent whilst he reads it out, you have to mention that in the review.
Oh my God, I'm not good at accents.
I'm terrible at accents. I can do generic North American, that's it, so.
What does generic North American sound like?
Well, we'll just have to wait and see for a review to come in.
Obviously, you can follow along with everything that we do each and every week by going to c4podcast.com. We will be back again next week. Looking forward to the season. You'll get to tune into a new episode every Tuesday of each month, save for when we get into the Christmas holiday season. You'll find that we'll probably take in a week off there. And as the season goes on, if it happens to be a holiday Monday, that would likely mean we'll skip that week too, but we'll give you plenty of notice. So on behalf of Anna at 84603, myself, Chris, at Lightforce, you can find us online at the C4 Podcast, and you might be listening to us on CanucksHockeyBlog.com and the Full Press Coverage Network. But by the way, we're out.